Shabbat Shalom, here we are again, and I'll start the video real quick, and it started, I don't know if it's streaming, but there we are. So, let's put up the study and we'll proceed. Whoops, I shut it. There it is. Very good. Shabbat Shalom. Well, we are One of Messiah congregation. Here we are again in Hohenwald, Tennessee. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study today, which will be, I hope it helps everyone. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, we come before you, Father. We ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, anything that we do wrong, or anything that you know better than us, because we're just dust. Please forgive us, Father. We don't try to sin willfully, and we don't go out and do anything weird. So we try to fear you and keep your commandments. Bless and anoint this day. Bless the study. Bless the food we eat. Bless the singing we do. Let everything be to the glory of the living God today. May God heal you today. May God touch you today. May God always be with you everywhere you go and lead, guide, and direct you. And I thank God that we are individuals, but we're all in the one body in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Amen. Well, here we are, One of Messiah congregation, and it's the Sabbath again. We're on Maple Street in Hohenwald, Tennessee. There's our phone numbers, there's the email, there's the website. You can always call me if you want. Today is June 1st. Here we are. Now we're in the sixth month of the Gregorian calendar. Half of the year is gone. We're on our way to 2020, which sounds a little strange. It does. It sounds like something you see on Star Trek, 2020. But anyway, here we are. And there's, unfortunately, what June means. I know it's such a four-letter kind of word, but it's really a terrible thing. She's the goddess of the Roman pantheon. And you can read that whole thing, but that's where the word June comes from that we use so easily. Well, we're still in the second month of God called Ziph, and we're in the 26th day, and it's definitely brightness. And if that's found in 1 Kings 6:1, this the new moon, the third month called Sivan, will be coming soon. And that is Tuesday evening. And it's the daytime hours, of course, is the fifth Wednesday. So it'll be the new moon again. And that'll be interesting because Sivan. And today's June 1st. So just think, in about 15 days is the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. There's the word Sivan in Hebrew, in case you want to see it. Sivan. Yeah. For your benefit, I have everything here. Thank the Lord I learned how to do this. You could read the studies. You could listen to the studies. You could watch the studies. You may not be able to see the video today. I don't know if you can or not, to be honest with you. But you'll be able to see it later. Anyway, you could upload them to your iPads, iPhones, whatever, MP3 players. This is the fifth Sabbath of the seven Sabbath journey, again, spiritually speaking. We're on our fifth week. We had one infraction of a person so far on our travels. And if you don't know what infraction means, it means failure to obey or fulfill a law, contract, or agreement, or an instance of this. And that's, you know, we only had one situation occur so far. Remember, we were told to count Sabbaths, and we are. We're on the fifth one. And we're not counting the Omer. Some people are still doing that, of course. But they didn't read Leviticus 23:15 and 16 because it says the counts after seven Sabbaths are complete. Then we're going to add one day because seven sevens are 49 plus one is 50. That's where the word Pentecost in Greek comes from. And it's really Feast of Weeks. There it is. We'll be doing that again. Chag Shavuot. There it is, Pentecost. And that's offering time. Today I wanted to do a quick study, which was, this study actually was suggested to me. So I put together some verses. Who are we and who we became? I see that the title didn't show up the whole way there. Who are we and became? So in other words, who were we before and now who we are, basically. Let's examine a few words. First of all, we always hear this thing called herd mentality. And, you know, I looked it up, actually. It says, don't try to persuade or convince someone in something you want to do or a place you want to go, etc. In other words, let people make their own decisions. Herd mentality means describes how people are influenced by their peers to adopt certain behaviors, follow trends, and or purchase items. That's what that exactly means. So basically, it's trying to erase your individuality. And groupthink is basically the same thing, or the instances thereof also. And it is a psychological phenomenon that occurs within a group of people, and a group of people could be more than two, or, you know, it says, in which the desire of harmony or conformity in the group results in irrational or dysfunctional decision-making outcomes. Group members try to minimize conflict, reach a consensus decision without critically evaluation of alternative viewpoints by actively suppressing dissenting viewpoints and by isolating themselves from outside influences. And if you don't know what all that means, it's very simple. It just means that just to avoid conflict, you know, you just try to come up with some kind of solution on your own, not caring what anybody else has to say or any other viewpoints or any other suggestions or any other opinions. It's just like you're just closed and it's just all about you, basically. Groupthink requires individuals to avoid raising controversial issues or alternative solutions. And there is loss of individual creativity, uniqueness, and independent thinking. That's what happens when people put their stuff on you. You lose all that. Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about personality also. A lot of people don't understand what personality is. Personality is the quality or state of being a person.
That's easy.
It's the combination of characteristics or qualities that form an individual's distinct character. So, in other words, our personalities should have been all altered by the God of Israel. We now have a godly personality, have godly attributes, and a godly character. By the way, we have the mind of Messiah in all things, everything we do, basically. We don't, just think, none of us here use foul language. We don't think about doing evil things. We, you know, everything we do is a correct balance, you know. Now, I do want to make sure you understand, personality traits, your godly personality traits, here's what they should be according to the Bible. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, helpers of your joy, and obviously helpers of many, you know, besides your joy, of many. You're supposed to be a succorer. That's what that word means. In 2 Peter, we see more attributes. We see, he says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly, of course, and sisterly kindness, and to brotherly and sisterly kindness, charity. Okay? So that's what our personality has to entail. Now, he goes on further and he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. But if you lack these things, you're blind and you cannot see afar off, and you've forgotten that you were purged from your own sins. So your old sins are still on you and you're not a new creature, you know? Your personality, I want to make sure everyone gets this sentence here. Your personality is different than what you physically like to do in your life. What you like to do has nothing to do with your personality, because I'm talking about your personality in God, okay? And what you like to do doesn't make you holy or unholy. The activities you may that you enjoy may differ from many others. And I put down very simply, some do and some don't in every single thing that you could imagine. That doesn't make you holy or not holy. What we physically like to do or not do does not make us holy or godly. An example, I use myself. I play guitar. I like computer stuff, robotics, science, math, and many other things. That doesn't mean that makes me holy, and then that doesn't mean you have to do it, okay? Some people like physical activity. Some people don't. Some people like to run. Some people like to walk. Some people like to go fishing. Some people like, you know what I mean? Everyone is, when it comes to what you like to do, has nothing to do with your personality. This has nothing to do with a godly personality. You're supposed to be a new creature. You're supposed to be a new creature. In other words, being a new creature is, we are new creatures. I mean, you could see that we really are. Therefore, if any person be in Messiah, he or she is a new creature. Old things supposed to pass away. All things are new. So everything that about us is new. You know, we don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't steal, we don't, do all the stuff, things we used to do. We're supposed to put off concerning the former conversation, the old person. We're not supposed to sound like we used to sound. I could always tell when I hear people starting to sound like their worldly sound, like what they used to sound like, I could tell they're falling away. Because their old conversation, their old man pops out, starts protruding through them. And it's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We're supposed to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And a couple of weeks ago, I did a whole study about the mind. So if you put this study and the other study together, I mean, I hate to be a spiritual psychiatrist, but this is what's happening, you know. And that you put on a new man, which is after God and created in righteousness and true holiness. That's our personality. We're holy in all manner of conversation. Because God says, be holy because I'm holy. You know, we don't entertain, foul jokes. We don't agree to disagree with things that are not of God, you know. So an individual, if you don't know the definition of an individual or relating to or distinctively associated with your being, that's what an individual is. OK. And some verses of individuality. And we're supposed to be all individuals, but that still doesn't have anything to do with our godly personality. We're all individuals. What I like to wear, maybe you don't like what I wear. Maybe I don't like what you wear. Maybe you eat something that you like and I eat something I like. That doesn't matter. Don't you get it? In the scheme of things, it's neither here nor there. We see in the book of Ecclesiastes where Solomon makes it very clear. He says, my portion, my labor. He's not worried about yours or someone else's. He says, whatever mine eyes desire, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. So whatever he wanted to do, that was fine. You know, he wasn't disturbing anyone else. So his own work, his portion, we have Ecclesiastes 3:22. Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man or a woman should rejoice in their own works. For that is his portion, whatever you like to do. And we have Ecclesiastes 5:18. Behold, that which I have seen is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and enjoy the good of all his labor that he takes under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him. It's your portion. So whatever you like to do, if you like to do farming, you like to do planting, if you don't like to do planting, that's fine too. I mean, if you like to, if you're a country person or a city person, I've sort of become a little bit of each because I am from New York and I do miss New York once in a while when I think about it. But I still live in Franklin, which is sort of a city to me. It is nice. It has everything I need. But then I come to the country here, you know, in Hole-in-the-Wall, Tennessee. And it's like less people and less things, but it's a lot of physical stuff like we were doing. And I don't mind that because it makes me get outside, too. I get to go outside and do things I never would have did in my life. It says right here, did I read this verse? 5:18. Verse 19 says, every man And that means not all men, but every man also to whom God had given riches, wealth, and had given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. So God actually, I feel like God's given that to us. I mean, I always tell my wife, it always feels like we have peace in our lives. You know, we're not living in the time of a world war. We're not living in a time of, you know, things that are just chaotic, you know, really. There are things that go on in the news that are a little, there are atrocities that take place, but they're random and they're few between, you know, thank God. So anyway, don't interrupt my vanity, okay? If I like computers, I like robotics, and it's my life, your life. I'm going to live joyfully with the wife whom God gave me, whom I love all the days of my life, of my vanity, which he had given thee under the sun all the days of my vanity. But that's my portion in this life, and then the labor which I take under the sun. So, in other words, the reason why he's saying it's vanity, because it really, in the scheme of things, when you meet the God, you're not, who cares about robotics or computers or things I like, and the things you like to do, that's not even going to matter. You like to paint, or you like to sing, or, I mean, whatever you like to do, it's not going to matter in the eternal spiritual realm. We are all different individuals, but now we're one in Messiah in all thoughts and actions. So we have to sort of understand that. Even though we are individuals and you might like to do different things, and you can't criticize other people because they don't like to do what you like to do. That's what I want to make sure you bring across. Whatever you like to do, that doesn't mean the other person has to enjoy that. You know, and I want to bring that across to everyone. There are many parts to the one body of Messiah. That's where there's many individuals in the body of Messiah, many parts. But you see, you're calling brothers and sisters, how that not many wise men and women, there's a few wise men and women after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. That's what God does. And the base things of the world and things that are despised have God chosen, and things which are not in the eyes of the world to bring to naught the things that seem like they are. You know why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, the Father, are you in Messiah Yeshua, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, anyone that glories, let him glory in Yehovah. Right. Praise the Lord. Now, at the same time, in this many individual body parts, and every individual body part has a different function, right? Now, there are diversities of gifts in the same spirit. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord, Yehovah. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God who works all in all. So in the body of Messiah, this is the way it works. And I'm sure in the worldly way of looking at it, the carnal way, this sort of has thought too, because when you go to a corporation, there's diversities of operations in a corporation. Everyone's not this part, and everyone's not doing that, and everyone's not doing that, right? You realize that because you work in Vanderbilt. You have your function, right? You're not doing the other function the other person was hired for, right? So in a worldly sense, that this also makes a lot of spiritual sense. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person to profit with all. To one is given the Spirit of is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another individual, you might have the word of knowledge, but it's by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. And that could be spiritual or physical. We have people here that speak different languages. But all these work that one and the self, they all work one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every person severally as God willed, right? Now, there's only one body, just like there's one body of you, right? But there's many members, many individuals, and all the members of that one body, being many, are just one body. So also is Messiah. For by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink of into that one Spirit of God. Amen. Now, the body is not one member, not one, of course, the body isn't just one individual part, right? But many, right? The foot, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Imagine if your ear said to you, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of your body. Is it therefore not of your body? If the whole body was an eyeball, could you imagine the whole body was just a big eyeball? Where's the hearing then? There's no ears. And if the whole were hearing, if you were just a big ear, where's the smelling? You have no nose. But now had God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him. And this is really important to remember. And if they were all one member, clones, we're not clones of each other, where were the body? For now, are they many individuals, not clones, but one body? I'm trying to put today's lingo in here, clones, you know. Yeah, and the eye cannot say to the hand, hey, I have no need of you. Or can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you? I don't need you. Your feet, you can't think down there. He's thinking with his feet. Nay, much more, the members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Really? And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon them we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Amen. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks. Amen. That there be no schism in the body. That means there's no things that are going wrong. Yeah. Like you might say, well, who needs eyebrows? But they do. They have a purpose, I'm sure. Who needs fingernails? But, you know, but they still serve a purpose once in a while, right? Who needs an appendix, right? But you definitely need it. Anyway, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. We do, too. When, you know, when someone's sad or something happens, we all feel sad. When one member is on it, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Messiah and members, individuals, not clones in particular. Right. So this is godly speaking now. In the book of Romans, Paul writes, one body. For as we have many members, individuals, not clones in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Messiah. Again, our personality is changed from a carnal personality. Now we have a godly personality, which has nothing to do with what we like to do. Right. Some people like to read books. I have my computer read to me a lot of things. I do. I mean, I love that because I sit there and I'm drinking, you know, drink my coffee and I'm thinking and I hear it reading to me. Instead of staring there at the book and I can't do nothing else. But while it's reading to me, I'm looking other stuff up too. So I'm multitasking. It says, for we being many are one bread and one body. For we're all partakers of one bread, right? And that Messiah might reconcile both Jews and Gentiles unto God the Father in one body by the cross, and he slain the enmity thereby. That's right. So anyway, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and to which you also are called in one body, and be thankful. That's really important. And I thank the Lord for the water he's given us on the farm, which every time I take a shower there and drink the water, and I think, wow, there's no chemicals in it. There's no, it's not been flushed down the toilet a million times and chemicals to, so you can drink it. It's just pure. I mean, it tastes great and it's cool. And I thank God, you know, because it's just beautiful. I thank God for everything. The air he gives us to breathe. Just think out here, there's not a lot of factories. There's not a lot of pollutions and not a lot of outgases and all that kind of stuff. Anyway. So one mind, you're supposed to have one mind, and I did the whole study a couple weeks ago, that you may, it says that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So that's what we're supposed to have. We're all supposed to speak the same thing, the Bible says, when it comes to Scripture. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Be perfect. Oh, be perfect. That bothers me because I know it's something you have to strive for. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So if you want peace, your mind has to be stayed upon the Lord, and you have perfect peace. Paul tells us the Philippians, he says, let your conversation is not only verbal, but it's your whole being, the way you carry yourself. But let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Messiah, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So now you might say, well, are you losing your individuality here? No, this is talking about our godly personality and godly traits, what we want to have one mind when it comes to God. We don't disagree. This has nothing to do with whether you like tomato sauce or some other thing. This has to do with what we believe in God, right? It says, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, supposed to have the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So when we see someone that's not of one accord, we already know Satan's getting in and they're probably going to be vanishing soon. Finally, be you all of one mind. Peter says the same thing. They all say the same thing. Having compassion one of another, love as brothers and sisters, be pitiful, be courteous. And we do. We try to, if I can, I'll come and help you unload stuff, open the door if I'm around. You know, I'll try to, you know, and I hope you do the same thing. Anyway, if you're joined to Jehovah, you're in one spirit. For by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink of that one spirit. And this is really beautiful because through Messiah, Yeshua, we have access by one spirit unto the Father. So when we pray, you're actually going into the holies of holies, through the blood of the Messiah, and praying to the living Creator God who created everything. Praise the Lord. May we always remember that. There's one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Yehovah, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and I hope in you all, right? One Yehovah the Lord, and that's through the whole Bible. They call it the Shema for some reason, the hear. It says, hear, Shema Yisrael, Yehovah, our God, Eloheinu, is Echad, is one Yehovah. Zechariah says the same thing. Yehovah shall be king over all the earth, and that day there shall be one Yehovah, and his name one. Then we go to the book of the Gospel of Mark. It says, and Yeshua answered him, he answered this lawyer guy that was talking. He says, the first of all the commandments is this, hear, O Israel, Yehovah, God is one Yehovah. And you're supposed to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. So we go to the Corinthian letter, and it says, but to us there's but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Yeshua the Messiah, by whom are all things, and we by him. That's a deep sentence. One God. Book of Malachi really brings that out. It says, believe it or not, have we not all one Father? So whether you know it or not, I'm really related to you. Because if you're not from the human race, then you're from outer space, right? But if you're from Noah, we're really all related. Sisters and brothers. Had not one God created us? Why do you deal treacherously every person against his brother or sister by profaning the covenant of our fathers? We're supposed to have peace and tranquility and happiness in God. And people that, you know, just can't stand us, that's definitely not of God. And they're not of God. Gospel of Mark tells us, the scribe said unto him, well, master, you have said the truth. There is one God and there's none other but he. Amen. Romans says, seeing as there's one God which justifies the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Amen. Through the blood of Yeshua. But to us, there is but one God. So we see that there's one God, right? And there's one body. And even though there's many members, James says, if you believe there's one God, you do well. Even the devils believe and tremble. They know that, right? There's one law. Even though Judaism changed this, there's one Lord to him that is homeborn, the Ezrach, and unto the stranger, the Ger, that sojourns among you. One law, one manner shall be to you, for the stranger that sojourns with you. Right. So the Israelites, once somebody joined them, they became as the homeborn. There's one law for him that sins through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourns among you. James says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you that judges in their own spirit another? So you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what sometimes we see it's not happening. Some people, I don't even know if they love themselves. You know, that's the problem. And that's written in many places. You're not supposed to avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Everybody heard that? Not supposed to avenge or bear the grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. I am Yehovah. But the stranger that dwells with you shall be unto you as one born among you. I wrote this verse, who knows, only God knows how many times on Pow Talk to the rabbis I used to battle. Because I used to say the Gentiles that join us, it says, a stranger that dwells with you shall be unto you as one born among you. You're supposed to love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am Yehovah your God. So anyone who joins, you become part of the Israel of God. There's no second-class citizen or nobody less than anybody else. We're all in this together. You're supposed to honor your mother and father. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's echoed in many places in the Gospels. I'm not going to read all this to you. It's the same thing over and over. You know, it says the same thing right here. Love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians, James. And love is very important. A lot of people think it's some kind of mushy thing. Love is the keeping of the commandments. And it's also the way you sort of like hand in hand with charity. Whoso keeps his word in him or her, verily is the love of God perfected. So if you keep the word of God, then the love of God is perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him, in the Father. Anyone who loves his brother and sisters abides in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in them. Anyway, the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whoso doth not righteousness is not of God, and he that loves not his brother or sister. So just think, if you don't love your brother and sister, you're not of God. That's a scary thought. Some people that can't stand us, they're not of the God of Israel. The children of, it says right there. Let's read that again. The children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he or she that loves not his brother or sister. So you're not of God if you don't love your brother and sister. Wow. This is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And we read this a lot, and it's from the beginning in Genesis. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brothers and sisters. He that loves not his brothers and sisters, you're in death. Just think, if you don't love us and you're with us, you're in death. And you can see it on people's faces, and it comes out of their mouth too, death. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because Yeshua laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. Amen. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother or sister have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from them, how dwells the love of God in you? So we wouldn't make anyone go homeless here if you're a brother and sister, or starve, or if you need clothes, or if you're, you know, out of work and you just can't find a job, and we would help you. But if we're not going to keep helping you if you don't do nothing, and if you don't listen to, if you don't seek godly counsel and you do your own thing, forget that. My little children, let us not love in word. We don't just love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Because there's a lot of people out there go, I love you. But do they? I used to tell people, you have a kind disposition, the kind I don't want to be around. That's what I used to think. She has a kind face, not the kind I want to see. Anyway. John tells us, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God. If you don't love your brothers and sisters, you know not God, because God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. May God always forgive us for anything that we don't even know about. You know, so again, I was reading some of the letters this morning. You know, I went through a bunch of different letters, and I see that it's a constant thing with the the children of Israel, and also all the nations Paul went to, and all the Gentile nations, that constant reproving of love your brothers and sisters, love, and treat everyone with correct courteousness. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Now, I don't know about you, but I had never seen God at any time. Have you? If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. If a man or woman say, I love God, and hates his brother or sister, you're a liar. Boy, if you go, oh, I just love their person. I love their hospitality and their graciousness. And then they hate you. They're a liar. That's so obvious that they're lying. Because if you love somebody, you always want to be around them, right? So that's a scary thought. It says, how can you love God whom you see? How could you love God whom you haven't seen? And you see your brother and sister and you don't love them, right? It says, he that loves not his brother whom he had seen, how could you love God whom you haven't seen? And this commandment have we from him. This is a commandment that we should love God. It says, he who loves God loves his brother and sister also. Yeah. So that is a commandment of God. And a commandment doesn't just mean I love you and run away.
I love you. Go.
So this isn't a long study today. And I pray you may discern with proper reasoning and understanding this short study. So I'll just do a little summary of it. You know, basically, we are all individuals. No one should be pressuring anyone to do anything that they want to do. I don't press you and say, come on, learn some jazz chords. sit down, come and learn some robotics. I want to teach you some C++. You'd think I'm flipped out, you know. But I'm not going to try to pressure you to do anything you don't want to do. If you don't want to do it, fine. Have fun in your life. We neither are physical clones of each other nor desire to be. I'm not trying to be like you, and you shouldn't be like me physically, what I physically like to do. Now, you want to emulate each other in the godly personalities. You might go, that person's godly. I want to be more like that. So you have to learn how to discern and understand this study. Yeah, you have to learn how to understand all this. Remember, we are talking about God. We are all have the same mind, the same judgment, the same thought, the same conversations, and the same one law, right? Also remember, even though we're individuals, Ecclesiastes says two brothers or sisters are better than one. You know why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. Like I seen my wife doing stuff the other day, but I thought, man, I should go out there and assist her. And I went out there and helped her. And we knocked the thing out faster. Because two are better than one. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him or her that's alone when they fall. Because they don't have anyone else to lift them up. Right? So that's why it's good to, two are better than one. You know? And if two lie together, they have heat. But how could one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So, if you happen to be three, that's even better. And may God be the third one in our lives. So we are not clones, but individuals in God. But that doesn't mean we're not in the one body. We all function the same in God. That doesn't mean what you like to do, doesn't mean someone else has to like to do it. Everybody understand that? Everybody understands that, right? But when it comes to godly things, we're all the same because we're in the same body. You can't say, you can't say I like to steal once in a while. That means you're not in the body. Red flag. Anyway, so I hope you got something out of this quick study today. It's not too long. I can't believe it's not. It's almost 10 to 10 more minutes. Wow. But anyway, I'm going to say may God bless you today. And may God always make you go over my studies audibly or with a video or with just reading them. And go over the one, may God put it upon everyone's heart to go over the one about the mind too, because it's very important. May God bless the rest of this day, bless our Sabbath. We just thank God we could be here today, and may God rebuke the devil away from us, and may God always fill us with the truth and love for our brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, bless this day, bless the food, the singing, let everything be to the glory of the living God. May God comfort you today and bless you in Yeshua's name. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm going to stop the video. And I'll open the room if you want to say something. Let me stop this real quick.